Hello and welcome to CBD University with Dr. Andry. I am Dr. Matt Andry, a family physician here in Bloomington. And if you are looking for a family physician, you can call us at our phone number at 812-331-8282 or look us up on the web at www.andrymedicalservices.com. And we'd love to talk to you. We're also going to be your source for high quality CBD full spectrum hemp oils. So contact us and we'd be happy to talk with you. On this show, what we're doing, and my host here, as every week, is Pam Thrash. Pam, welcome and thank you.
Hi.
And what we're trying to do with this program is to educate people about CBD oil and hemp oil and how it can be useful for your health and also, you know, what to look for in terms of legality, in terms of any risks that are associated with it, which frankly are very few. And to do that with me this week is my very, very good friend and colleague, a wonderful physician here in Bloomington, one of the leaders in pain management really in the Midwest, in my opinion, in the country. And he and I have shared more patients than I care to count, including my own family, because that's how much I trust him. So I want to welcome to the line Dr. Gary Gettelfinger.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Gary. Thank you so much for being on here. So, you know, you were one of the first people that I talked to when I'd first learned about hemp oil and its potential benefits for patients. And I was really hoping, you know, as part of this program, our intention is to interview people in the community and really around the country and people that are experts in the use of CBD for health. And you've quickly become one of those. And you treat a lot of conditions that people have looked to the hemp plant for extracts for literally millennia. For help in that you treat pain. First of all, I think many people know, but you know, there's being a physician that specializes in pain management is not just giving people pills. In fact, that's usually the last thing you want to do. But if you would, can you tell us kind of your role in your practice and what you try to do to get people to deal with their pain in a functional way?
Well, I've always tried to be multifactorial. You know, when patients come to me, I tell them, I say, look, you're physical, you're mental, you're spiritual. That encompasses everything about your being. And, you know, a lot of people, they want to talk about the physical. But if you don't address the mental, and in my personal opinion as a believer, you don't address the spiritual, then you're missing a lot of people's lives. And pain can be obvious to, I cut myself really bad and doctor is killing me. My son did this couple days ago, tried to cut his toe off on a jump that he was doing.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, kind of nasty.
Ooh.
Yeah, I just undressed it. It's pretty ugly looking. But anyway, so it's obvious. Yeah, I got pain, okay, and hopefully that is acute and that's going to heal.
Yep.
And a lot of my patients, well, some come with acute pain that we hope is going to heal. I saw a lady today that had some ankle issues, and there was a question of a complex regional pain syndrome, and I don't think she's developing that right now, but I'm glad the surgeon alerted me as quick as I could. But anyway, I try to figure out in their lives what's going on as quick as I can. You know, we have limited time, and you know, the physical sometimes obvious, sometimes not. And you know, and try to address that. Try to teach them. And I think you believe this as I do, Matt. We're more teachers than we are anything.
That's
really
right. That's exactly right.
We try to address what's causing the pain. And sometimes it's obvious physical, sometimes it's not, sometimes it's mental,
mm-hmm.
and I believe sometimes it's spiritual. I mean, I think people are being drawn to me sometimes for a reason.
Yep.
You know, I try to get patients in control, educate them so they can be in control of their pain. You need to exercise, you need to lose weight, you need to stop smoking, that decreases blood flow to your spine, and your spine suffers. I mean, people look at me like I have three eyes to this day in 2018 when I tell them that. You know,
yeah.
So, you
well,
know...
Yeah, well, you know, pain, the way I always have thought about it is, you know, it's a signal. It's your body trying to communicate to the rest of you that, hey, something needs addressed. And
right.
There are people that are born without pain receptors, and they don't live very long because they get injured all the time and they don't know it. So your pain is trying to tell you something, but it can be dysfunctional too, where just the signals that it's sending are either ramped up too far or you can't turn them off. And that can be equally disruptive to people's lives and even deadly.
Right.
Yeah. And so I was at a meeting last week. You know about this group. It was a Midwest group of interventional pain physicians. And, you know, I was really struck, in all honesty, by most of these were incredibly sincere people who just really, really want to help their patients. It was interesting in talking to a lot of them, and you and I have had this discussion too. We're in the midst of such an opioid crisis here in our country, and especially in our state, and in in our community. We're seeing, you know, tens of thousands of deaths. I think this last year there were over 60,000 deaths from opiates. And a lot of them were from ones that they got from a physician. And so one of the goals of all physicians, and especially those who deal with pain, is to try to find other ways than just pain pills to help people manage that. And I know that's something that you've done, worked very hard on for years, well, long before there were mandates from the government to do so. How important it is it for you to try to either educate or protect people from these medicines that, while they can be helpful, they can be deadly?
Well, that's the number one thing. I mean, I spend a lot of time telling them about, you know, the dangers of narcotics and why we should not give them to them and why we should potentially give them to them. You know, the easy patients are the cancer patients. They're sometimes more difficult in what you need to do for them, but it's all, you know, the gates are open. You can have whatever you want and need, and we're going to take care of you. Suffering is a horrible thing.
Yep.
And if you don't have much time, we're going to make sure you take care of that. It's the one that's going to live another 30, 40, 50 years that you got to be careful
with.
Yeah. You know, because you got to be careful with them. And I have to say that I have been very fortunate and very blessed that my patients have done pretty well over the years. And it's a lot of education by myself and my staff. And today it's like they don't come in expecting meds because the current theory is that a lot of what we thought was okay to give people narcotics for now is not.
There was a time period where, you know, it was malpractice to not give people whatever it took to fix their pain. You know, probably, 20 years ago?
Right.
The message was pain is the fifth vital sign and we need to treat it.
Right.
And that was really being pushed a lot by societies who were getting, you know, kind of influenced maybe by some pharmaceutical companies had something to do with that. It was just a belief that was, you know, throughout our colleagues. And we were told that everywhere we turned. And then now we're kind of seeing, you know, the devastating effects of that belief system.
Right. Well, and there were some very poor studies out of Europe that said that narcotics were probably fine on a long-term basis, and there was really not any good studies when you look back, you know, where we've come from. And I remember 1991, I finished my residency, and that was the year of the woman and the year of pain, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
So you were pretty free to give about anything that you could possibly think of that would help them, and narcotics was a big part of that, especially for people that weren't trained in other procedures like, you know, injections and stimulators and, you know, morphine pumps or various other things that I do. Or, you know, sometimes we don't, it's very difficult sometimes in communities to get good psychological, psychiatric type help because we're short on those folks. They do an awesome job in our community, but they just overwhelmed. And so in the multidisciplinary aspect, you need to be making sure you're getting everybody involved that could help these people that are suffering from the pain from whatever reason it is.
Absolutely. So enter, you know, last year, right about this time, frankly, when I had first began to use CBD for my patients, you were one of the first colleagues that I wanted to talk to because I was seeing clinically some really remarkable changes in people's pain levels without any of the side effects or risks that I perceived that they had from other medicines. And so I was really anxious to talk to you and see if you thought this was something that could help. And I know you remember that those first couple conversations we had about this, if you don't mind sharing.
Yes. Well, I told you I had been using Marinol, which is the THC synthesized formula from drug companies.
Yep.
And I found it to be very useful in patients with belly pain, especially either from chronic pancreatitis or you know, diabetic, gastroprep, whatever they have.
Sure.
What causing them to have pain. The problem that I ran into was, you know, the THC part can make you anxious, and it can make you a little high. You know, some people were getting that. And then what I ran into was the drug companies priced it so high, the patients couldn't get it.
Yep.
Only my, you know, and some of my patients have gone down the road of pretty significant loss of financial income, and they lose a lot, and they can lose everything when they have pain and they suffer from it, and they end up in a disability situation. So I had a private work. I couldn't get a hold of it. So when you came to me and you said, hey, Gary, this may help your patients, I'm like, I need to see this. And I knew about CBD. I didn't know much. Didn't know near as what I do now. But I'd seen emails coming through, CBD for your patients. And we were dancing on the line of, oh, it's legal now in all the states, and
yep,
you can get it. And that was the first recognition. And I remember telling some patients, I don't know much about this CBD, but you might go check it out somewhere and see if you can get some that might help you. And then, boom, you came along and said, your words that got me the most were when you said, this may help your patients sleep, because I'm seeing that in my patients. And, we've talked about many times, if we don't sleep as human beings, we don't restore our batteries, and we don't heal ourselves.
Yep.
And we get crazy nutty with anxiety, and our pain gets worse, and we get depressed, and we can't take care of our families, can't go to work. I mean, it just gets in a spiraling mess.
Well, and then a lot of the things that people take to try to sleep, the interactions of those with pain medicines can be deadly.
Yes. Not alone that, they can also, they don't work well. When you force sleep and you don't get a natural, I'm up all day wearing myself out and I sleep well at night, it just doesn't work.
It's not restorative sleep. Yeah,
yeah,
it just knocks you out. Yep, yep.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I know you began using it with some patients, and tell us, if you would, some of the things that you've seen that have really changed significantly for people.
Well, initially, like you were doing, Matt, I was giving it to them right in the office. I was seeing headaches go away, and I was seeing tension go away. And
yep,
one of my first patients, I gave 5 drops under his tongue because I didn't know how to dose it. I don't give that little these days. I usually give 10 to 15, depending. And he went home and slept for 5 hours and never did that. As a PTS guy, he's been blown up in Iraq a few times.
Wow.
He was in the newspaper with me back in October. And
mm-hmm.
And I'm like, whoa, there's something here. And I gave it to another woman that had done everything I had asked. She'd had disc replacement in Germany, and she's a nurse at the hospital, and she didn't want to take narcotics. Got her on some Baltz, and she got CBD. Her pain doesn't totally go away, but her neuropathic pain, which is
yes,
a burning type pain.
Yep.
People in the audience are listening, they understand they hear burning. They know people's feet burn and that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. Her pain would burn in her back to where she could not sit up, and she would lay down all the time, and her husband would literally take her around in their van laying down. And
wow.
She takes the CBD, her pain's still there, but the burning pain's gone, and she sits up, and she goes to dinner with her husband, and she went and got her hair done for the first time sitting in the chair. And, this stuff was like, whoa, something's going on here, and I don't know exactly what it is yet, But that was when you and I were learning, and you were doing a great job researching everything and getting out on the web and figuring out, oh, my gosh, there is a system here that we never learned about in med school, and we're still not learning about, unfortunately.
Yep.
And then it just filtered down. I've got 500 patients I've probably treated to this point. I've had a little lady in my office yesterday who has chronic headaches and gets injections, and unfortunately they last maybe 3 weeks, and I put some drops under her tongue yesterday. I went back to the old days. I stopped doing that for a while since August. And she said, I feel good. This is good. Could this be possible? And I'm like, yeah, it can be. Why don't we forego this injection today and see how you do? And she said, yeah. And I've seen that. I mean, steroids and stuff that I use are not great.
They're not benign.
No.
There's a cost to doing business with them.
And I've had a number of patients that said, I don't need that shot anymore. Said, give me some CBD. And I don't need that shot anymore. Give me some CBD. And I've had people come to me in the window and be moving their hands all over the place, tears in their eyes, saying, 80 years old, saying, this is the first time I could make some cookies and cupcakes for my grandchildren in the last 5 years because I've had so much pain in my hands I couldn't use anything in my kitchen. And lady right after her said, I was suicidal, Doc, and I would never kill myself because I'm a good Christian, but it was pretty rough there, and thank you, good Lord, and you for bringing this CBD. So you don't get those stories with Ambien and insulin
no.
and blood pressure meds. You don't hear those kind of
no.
stories.
No, and I think, Gary, a lot of your impression has been the same as mine. I mean, I can't remember a pharmaceutical, much less a nutraceutical or a supplement in my entire career that has caused this degree of change for this wide variety of patients in this short a time. I've just never seen
it. No question.
Yeah.
No question.
And so it's a remarkable tool that for us to put in our bag. Has it helped you help patients get down off of other medicines?
Well, here's how I do it. We do it the same way. You do it too. I give it to them, and I look at all their meds, and I tell them, I say, don't change anything. You know, there's very few people that I won't treat. I won't treat a pregnant woman. I won't treat somebody with an organ transplant. I'm careful with seizures. I talk to the oncologist about chemotherapy drugs, but pretty much anything you bring to me, anything other than those things, which are pretty specific. We don't see organ transplant people around much. They're out there. But if you bring to me anything, I'll say try it. Because I don't change their narcotics. I don't take away anything. I don't tell them to stop their sleeping pills. I don't tell them to stop their anxiety meds, anything. And they come back to me.
and they've stopped it, or they've cut back.
Yeah. Lady today, she's dropped off her Neurontin. Now, that's not a very dangerous drug, but, hey, it's a drug.
It's a drug.
She doesn't like side effects. She's weaned it down. I've had people come up to the window and say, I'm off all my hydrocodone, which is a dangerous drug. I've had a young gentleman that had rods and screws in his back, had a motorcycle accident against a car and suffered for years. And he was like the other woman. He came off all of his narcotics eventually. And I sat him down with somewhat amazement and said, okay, now tell me what's going on. There's no way you're not having pain. He said, well, I am having pain, doc, but it's controllable. He said, in my anxiety around my pain and my pain medicine, so much better with the CBD that I can control my pain. It doesn't. And he's got little kids in the house, and he didn't want the drugs in there. And his wife's a pharmacist, and she knew what they could do to him. So the whole situation just came around for such a great success story there. And I didn't tell him. I didn't tell him you're coming off your meds. And every once in a while, I'll have some folks that they stay on their meds, but their meds work better, and they are able to wean down some. But they don't come totally off. But they say, hey, I'm so much better, doc. I sleep better. I feel better. I'm not groggy. I can, and I think a lot's, again, a lot's related to the sleep. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, number one would be sleep that I see, and probably close to, if maybe not number one, would be anxiety. Anxiety has been a huge thing.
It is. And you know, I know for me, you've done this longer and more specifically than I in terms of treating pain. But, you know, we always talk about pain and suffering because really they're separate entities. You and I will see somebody and every objective measure we have of pain is off the scale, and they're tolerating it reasonably well. And then you have some other folks that everything we can do to measure how much pain they're in isn't that bad, but they're absolutely, you know, debilitated by it. A lot of that suffering that comes from pain, I believe, is due to the anxiety around it. You know, it's that worry that however I'm feeling in this moment, I'm going to feel like this forever. And I think that's one of the aspects that seems to really change when people take this.
Well, and there has been, especially some older folks that told me they have hope.
Yep.
You know, and when people use that word, that comes along with the pain and suffering, too. You know, if you're you know, my son's in severe pain right now, but he's not suffering. He's going to get better. He's learned something, hopefully, you know. But you got these old people that have dealt pain forever, and their arthritis is getting to the point where they can't even walk well, and they can't really take care of themselves, but yet they still want to. They're starting to suffer, and then they have no hope. And the neatest ones have been the ones that come in and say, you know, I feel younger, and I've got hope.
Yes.
And that just takes it to a whole different level.
Absolutely.
Again, we have nothing that does that.
Yeah. It's been such a dramatic change for me. I mean, there's just this entire category of people, particularly, and I know you treat these folks too, in fibromyalgia. I mean, I know that you and I have talked about this a bit, but I'm seeing a percentage of patients get improvement with fibromyalgia that I've never seen with another agent in my entire career.
Totally agree with you.
Yeah, and, you know, of course, you and I reference, there's a paper by Dr. Ethan Russo, who's a pediatric neurologist in the northwest part of the country, where he talks about a number of conditions, particularly fibromyalgia, migraine, irritable bowel syndrome, and even what they call treatment-resistant depression and anxiety as basically an endocannabinoid deficiency. And when you take CBD, you're helping your body make one of those important endocannabinoids called anandamide, and you're mimicking one of the others called 2-AG. So you're replacing just hormones that belong there. But I had one lady about 3 weeks ago. I gave her some in the office. I was doing hormones for her, and she got up off the table, and she goes, oh, my God. And I was worried she was hurt. But she said, no, I don't. I hurt her, or she was bleeding from the procedure I just did. And she said, no, I'm not in pain. And that's been the first time in weeks. that she hadn't been out of pain, and it was just in moments that she noticed that. And that dramatic change, using there's so many products that are out there now, and you and I have found that we really like those products that are highly absorbed because they work faster. And when something works fast, it gives people confidence in taking it. Is that what you've seen?
Yes. I mean, especially if you can do it in your office.
Yep.
I mean, like that lady yesterday, if I was really bound and determined to feel that I needed to inject her and that was going to be a good thing for her, I could have probably told her, let's do it. But once I put those drops under her tongue, her headache started to go away. Boom, she was in.
She was sold.
She liked the way she was already feeling in that short period of time and had hope that she could have something that she can control herself, because she knew that my injections may only last about 3 weeks or something.
Right. And that's one of the confusing things, too. There are so many products, and things are getting ready to change here in the state, that you're going to have a code, or, a code on your oil if you're going to sell it in the state. And there's a lot of companies out there that aren't doing that right now. And so I think it is important for people to pay attention to what they're getting. And not all these products are created equal. A lot of people have kind of caught on to this buzz, and they'll put anything in a box and call it CBD. And I do think people need to be thoughtful about where they're getting their stuff.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, I've Gary, said, go ahead.
I said more than once in my office, I think you might have junk. How about if I get you some good stuff?
And I found that too. And if something's working for somebody, that's fine. I do worry about safety with some of the products, because you don't always know where this stuff is sourced. You don't know what they've grown it around. You don't know what they've put on it. So
right.
Looking for products that are organic, looking for products that are water soluble so that your body can get them in quickly, I think is important. And then getting a full spectrum instead of a isolate CBD oil, I think, is important. You know as well as I that later this month we're going to have approval for a drug called Epidiolex that is a pharmaceutical form of CBD. And then a lot of these products that are out there that are just CBD only, we're not going to have for very long because of their patent. But our full spectrum hemp oils are going to be fine because they've been around before. But I'm very excited that I found this, and you've shared it with the same patients, again, a lot of these same folks that I've seen, to kind of help give them a better life with something that has far less risk than other tools we've been given.
Yep. Thank you for bringing it to me. And we're on the road tonight again, right, to educate more people?
We are. We're heading to Terre Haute, and we're going to be educating some more of the public and clinicians about CBD, how to use it wisely, and how to maybe incorporate it to help their health out. But, you've been a colleague and a friend of mine for years, and I just really appreciate you coming on this week to kind of share your experience, and I hope to have you on again to do it more.
Sounds good. Just let me know. Thank you, Matt, and thank you, Pam, for helping with all this.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you. And thank you for listening to us on CBD University with Dr. Andree.